remedied, but if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. We'll read verses 1 through 10. It's good to see some dear old friends with us today. Bill and Shirley Delamar are here with us. We're the Delamars. There you are. We're so glad to have you folks with us today. God bless you. Thanks for coming and joining with us. It's good to have Mary Frost here. Mary Frost has been sick and not feeling good. We prayed last night for Mary. I'm telling you, Mary, I know God's touching you. I praise God that you're here with us today. God bless you. The title of this sermon, Hallelujah. 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 Man. You know, a dead, dry, emotionless, tearless faith is a curse to our generation, to our day, and to our faith. I grew up in a church that was a full gospel Pentecostal church through and through. Now, we didn't have folks jumping the pews or swinging from chandeliers or flopping on the floor or any of that stuff. But we did have powerful moves of the Holy Spirit where folks got excited about Jesus, where they joyously shouted, Hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus. We did have moves of the Holy Spirit in that church where folks would tarry in the altars, weeping and crying and praying out loud with fervent, passionate prayers, prayers of intensity and reaching up to heaven. We even had one Sunday, I know Sherry had this in her church growing up, one Sunday folks got real excited. We had what we call a Jericho March. And folks just got together. They just marched all around the inside of that church, worshiping and shouting and praising Jesus. Praise God. We did have powerful moves of God where the Holy Spirit moved and folks got saved and folks were filled with the Holy Spirit, where folks that had been backslidden or folks that had grown cold in their spirit, they came to the altars. They felt the pull of the Holy Spirit. They felt the conviction, and they came to the altars to rededicate their lives to God or to get saved and to commit their hearts to Jesus. There were services. Oh, I remember services where folks were miraculously healed, not by a preacher, not by an evangelist, but by the sovereign power and the grace of our God in heaven, by His touch. Why is it? Why is it that there is so little of that kind of move of God in our churches today? Why is it there's so little of the powerful move of the Holy Spirit? Has God changed? No. No. The Bible tells us in this 19th chapter of Revelation, we're going to read, of four different times that the saints of God are going to shout hallelujah. The saints of God, that's you and me. Four different times, according to the book of Revelation, when we're in heaven, that we're going to shout hallelujah. Let's examine those with me. Let's begin reading in Revelation chapter 19 with verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. Again they said, hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants, and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is a word that is non-translatable. That means that it's the same word no matter what language you're speaking. If you're speaking German, if you're speaking Chinese, if you're speaking French, if you're speaking Italian, if you're speaking Japanese, if you're speaking Romanian, it doesn't matter, because the word hallelujah in those languages mean one thing, that they're worshiping and giving praise to God. John's prophecy that we've read here in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, it declares that we all, that's all of us whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life, all of us that are born again, that we will be in heaven and we will be shouting hallelujah. And if we're going to be shouting hallelujah up there someday, then we might as well get used to it a little bit more here on earth. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. I know, I understand that there are some folks that just aren't comfortable expressing praise out loud in a church setting. And I realize that some folks that aren't comfortable, they may never shout amen or praise the Lord out loud. I understand that. But I do know this, according to the Word of God, that I'm going to see those same folks someday in heaven. And they will be shouting out loud. And they will have great enthusiasm. And they'll have great passion. And they'll have great expression. And they'll be saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And they won't care about what anyone thinks, because they'll be in heaven with God. So today we're going to examine the four times in the scripture that we just read, the four times that the saints of God are going to shout hallelujah. And the first one is the hallelujah of redemption. We read it in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Now, think about this for a minute. This hallelujah, this first hallelujah, it is the hallelujah of our first glimpse of heaven. It's the first time we see heaven. It's the first time we'll be entering through the pearly gates and witnessing and seeing heaven for the very first time. It's the first time we'll see that city that's referred to as the city that's four square. It's the first time we'll see the gates of pearl. It's the first time we'll see the streets of gold. And when we see the glory and the beauty of heaven, it's going to dazzle our eyes and our minds and our hearts and our souls. And all of us will be shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When we see it all. Oh, the hallelujah of that first glimpse of heaven. I just can't imagine how beautiful heaven really is. When we see it for the first time, oh, we're going to shout hallelujah. There was a little girl that was born blind, and for years she lived that way. She lived blind. But as she got older, advances were made in medicine and surgery. And so the doctor met with the family and said, I believe that we can give her sight now by an operation. Well, they performed the surgery. The bandages were placed around the little girl's eyes. And those bandages stayed there for months. Finally, the day came when the bandages were to be removed. And the mother took the little girl to the doctor. The doctor took her into the exam room. There was a large window there and bright sunlight was shining through. Carefully, he began to remove the bandages from around her eyes. And the mother stood there nearby, and she's just praying and hoping that this daughter, her little girl, will now be able to see for the first time in her life. Well, as the bandages were removed from her eyes, the daughter just continued to look out the window like she's just kind of looking out into space, as if she was still blind. Well, she blinked her eyes a few times, And then suddenly she ran and threw her arms around her mother's waist. And she cried out, "Oh, Mama, why didn't you tell me? It was so beautiful." And her mother is crying. And with joy, she says, "Oh, sweetheart, I tried to, but I didn't have the words to express and to explain how beautiful this earth is." Someday, oh, hallelujah, someday the saints of God are going to sweep through the gates of pearl, down the streets of gold, and we'll see John, who wrote this book, who had this revelation. And we'll run up to John and we'll say, "John, why didn't you tell us heaven was so beautiful?" And I think John may look at us and say, "Well, I tried to, but there just weren't words enough to express and to explain it." That's why we'll be shouting hallelujah at that first glimpse of heaven. That first verse of chapter 19, it also tells us that we're going to see the fullness of, I'm quoting now, of the salvation and glory and honor and power of our Lord. Now, we only know a little bit about that today. We try to tell folks, we try to tell them about salvation. We got to tell them what salvation means. We try to. But when we get there, oh, for the very first time, when we get a glimpse of the complete meaning of our salvation, then we will be shouting, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah," again, and we'll never be thinking about what somebody else is saying or thinking about us at that moment. When we see the glory of God, when we see our salvation in the grandeur of heaven for the very first time, we'll be so overwhelmed with joy, we'll be shouting. It's like the story in the time of the servant of Abraham. You remember the story, he wanted to get a wife for his son. And so the servant of Abraham was told to go look for a wife for Isaac, and so he traveled to a land far away of where Abraham's family was. The Bible says this servant took with him a chest that was filled with gold and jewels, riches, because to see is better than just to hear about it. If you remember, when the servant of Abraham got to where he was going, Rebekah became, of course, later the wife of Isaac, and he put bracelets on her arm and a beautiful jewelry upon her, and then later he gave the jewelry and bracelets and gifts to her mother and her brother, because seeing is a whole lot better than hearing about it. Then another example is the Queen of Sheba. She had heard about the riches of Solomon, the Bible tells us, but she couldn't believe it. So she took a long journey, and when she finally saw it, she cried out. Remember, she said, "The half has not been told." When we see, oh, hallelujah, when we see the glory and the power of God, and we see the salvation that belongs to the Lord, and we honor and we see Him for the very first time, we get that first glimpse of heaven. The heavens and the universe will be shouting and ringing with the shouts of the saints, saying, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." Say it one time with me this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The second hallelujah we look at today in the scripture is the hallelujah of retribution. The hallelujah of retribution. It's seen in verses 2 and 3. His judgments are just and true. Wait a minute. God is judging? He's just a God of love. That can't be right, can it? Well, the Word of God says His judgments are just and true. He has punished the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and He has avenged the murder of His servants. Again and again, their voices rang. Hallelujah. The smoke from that city ascends forever and forever. We also learn in the sixth chapter of Revelation, in verses 9 through 10, we read, "And the Lamb broke the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the Word of God and for being faithful in their witness. They called loudly to the Lord and said, 'O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long will it be before you judge the people who belong to this world for what they have done to us? When will you avenge our blood against these people? So here's what was taking place. The souls that have been martyred are in heaven, and they're crying out, Lord, how long are you going to let this thing go on? How long are you going to let these folks kill the saints and the prophets and the believers and destroy your people and let them get by with it? How long is it going to be, Lord? But if you look in verse 11 of that same sixth chapter of Revelation, verse 11 says, then a white robe was given to each of them. And they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus, had been martyred. The Lord was saying, wait just a little bit longer till your fellow servants have been given their lives. Let them give their lives that it might be fulfilled. Even today, we know the world is full of hatred. And Christians around the world are slain in countries because of their faith. And as the Lord tarries, we also know there'll be more and more of that happening. But finally, one day, God's going to say, that's enough. He's going to say, it's enough, it's over. He's going to send forth His wrath. And the Scripture says their smoke is going to rise up forever. And the saints, noted in chapter 19, that's you and me. And the saints, noted in chapter 19, when that begins to happen, it says that we're going to shout, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The saints will be shouting because we'll know that there will never, ever again be a born-again believer having to give their life because of their faith, being tortured because of their faith, or standing for the Word of God. Oh, we know there will be shouting there. So let's get a little bit more used to it down here. Say it a little bit louder with me this time. Hallelujah! Amen. The third hallelujah is the hallelujah of rejoicing. I like this. The hallelujah of rejoicing. It's in verse 4 of that 19th chapter. Then the 24 elders and the four living beings fell down and worshiped God who was sitting on the throne. And they cried out, Amen, hallelujah. The 24 elders, they represent the Old and New Testament saints. Everyone that's been saved by grace, they're all falling down in this scene to worship the Lord, saying, Amen, hallelujah. But that scripture also references four living beings or four living creatures or four living beasts, depending on your translation. Those are believed to be created beings of God, such as angels and seraphim and cherubim, created beings with no souls. See, they don't understand what it means to be forgiven of sins, because they've always been in heaven, you understand. But we understand what it means to be forgiven of our sins. And we're shouting and praising God, and it says that they also begin to praise and shout hallelujah. See, you have this image. I love this. You have this image of these created beings in heaven, and they're hanging around you and me. They're hanging around all the saints in heaven. And they see all the saints of heaven so happy and rejoicing and giving thanks. So it just causes these created beings just to start praising God and giving thanks with us. They just join in right with us, thanking God. Have you ever noticed that you cannot help but be happy when you're around other folks that are happy? You can't help but feel positive when other folks around you are positive. You can't help but feel full of joy and hope when others around you are full of joy and hope. Now, have you also noticed that when you stay around folks that are grumpy and sad and depressed and negative, before you know it, you're getting kind of grumpy and sad or depressed or negative yourself. And when you leave, you sure wish you hadn't been there and you wish you hadn't seen them because of how they make you feel. It's kind of like the deacon who always stood up on the Wednesday night prayer meetings to give his testimony. And when he stood up to give his testimony, this is what he said. Oh, how mistreated I am. How little I have. You know, I'm so poor and I'm so tired. You know, everybody has more than I do, but I come to church. You know, I do the best I can. I know someday the Lord is going to reward me for it. Well, the pastor really got tired of this because every Wednesday night, I mean every Wednesday night, that same fella got up and had the same little speech he would give. Finally, the pastor went to him and he said, "You know, Brother Brown, someday you're going to die. And we're going to take you back here to that cemetery behind the church. And we're going to put you in the grave. And when we do that, you can just rest and rest and rest." But the old deacon, he stood up, he looked at the preacher, and he said, "Pastor," he said, "why, just as sure as you bury me, just as sure as I'm in that grave and I'm enjoying my rest, the very next day, the resurrection will occur, and you know, Pastor, I'm going to have to get up." You know, you can't help but be sad and depressed around some folks. But you can't help but be happy and full of joy when you're around some other folks. Amen. In heaven, the saints of God, you and me, we're going to be shouting hallelujah. And all the angels and seraphim and cherubim are all going to be looking on, and they're going to be joining right in with us, shouting and praising God. And we need more of that here today. We need more of that in this church. You remember the writings of Paul? He wrote in Philippians 4, in that fourth chapter, he said, "Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Now think about Paul's situation. He wrote those words. He's in prison. He's about to get his head cut off for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But despite his condition and his future event that's about to take place, he's writing to the church. And what is he saying to them? "Praise God. Praise the Lord." Of course, you know, immediately some folks will say, "Well, you know, I would praise God, but I've got such bad health. You know, I'd praise the Lord, but you don't know what I'm going through right now." Well, then just praise the Lord anyway. Maybe you'll die and go to heaven, and it'll be with God before the day's over. So just praise Him anyway, is what I'd like to say. Listen to me. There will always be some reasons in this life. There will always be some excuses in this life not to praise Him if you're looking for Him. But I'm not looking for Him. You shouldn't be looking for Him. I love the Psalms because they're all about praise. In fact, you take Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. Every one of them begin with those three powerful words, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." May the Holy Spirit, my prayer is, may the Holy Spirit just give us a little more praise of the Lord today. Listen, if you have health, if you can go to church, if you have a family, then begin to praise God. The Bible says that let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now we come to it again. Say it with me. Hallelujah! 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 Now, the fourth example of praise in the Scripture is the hallelujah of the reign of Christ. This last hallelujah is focusing on the marriage supper of the Lamb. We read in verses 6 and 7, "Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a huge crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and honor Him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and His bride has prepared herself." There's three things that will create so much joy and excitement that we'll all be shouting when the church is presented to the Lord, our Savior Jesus, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's three things that will cause us to be shouting. The first thing is this: seeing the incredible mass host of people who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, a massive crowd of millions and millions that come together for one purpose, and that's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Great crowds, you think about great crowds always excite our emotions. Or you can look at a football stadium full of 80,000 people cheering for Alabama. I did that for Mike's cause. I know he'd appreciate that. Or cheering for whatever team you're cheering for, whatever that may be. People get excited. They get fired up. We're excited. We're in the company, though, of other believers. We're excited when others of like faith are with us. We'll be excited in heaven. Think about it, because we'll be united with our loved ones. We'll be united with our friends. We'll be united with those that we have won to the Lord. And we'll be shouting, hallelujah. But there's nothing worse than a dead church service. Every song that is sung, every part of the worship service should be filled with sincere praise. Even the hallelujahs of the saints should be part of that worship. Well, the second thing that happens at the marriage supper of the Lamb that causes us to shout hallelujah is the beauty of the bride. The bride is the church, by the way. That's you and me. Verse 8 says, speaking of the bride, she is permitted to wear the finest white linen, for fine linen represents the good deeds done by the people of God. It's a description of the church without spot or wrinkle, according to the Word of God. Now, we understand that today, we understand the church is not perfect. And so many folks criticize the church today. And you know, we know it's not perfect. We know we're not perfect. In fact, if the church were perfect, none of us could join because we're not perfect. We understand that. We had a saying out on our church sign a few years ago. It said, po-body's nerfect. Let that sink in a minute. It said, po-body's nerfect. The letters were... po-body's nerfect, and it went on to say, caution, God at work, people in progress. Well, see, today the church is in an incomplete state. It's kind of like building a house. You know, the foundation's poured, the framing is up, it's being roughed in. Well, the church, we're kind of in being that roughed in stage. That's the stage we're in today. But when it's completed, there'll be nothing to criticize because it'll be perfect. And the beauty of the bride of Christ, the church, will be without spot or wrinkle, and we'll realize it, we'll realize we're a part of it, and we'll shout, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the third thing that'll cause us to shout hallelujah at the marriage supper of the Lamb is this understanding of the eternal union of the bride, the church, to Jesus Christ. A marriage means a union. And at the marriage supper of the Lamb, there'll be the union of you and I, the church, to our Lord and Savior, and we will never be separated from Him again. Never again. Now, we know we're separated from His physical presence today. We understand that. But we also understand the Bible tells us that Jesus is preparing a home for us. When the Father says it's time, Jesus is going to step out on the clouds, and the trumpet's going to sound, and He's going to call us home. And the Lord will say to us, He'll say, I will never be without you again. I will never leave you again. And we know we will be with Him forever and forever. I'm reminded, He is coming back for the church, hallelujah. Doesn't that make you want to just shout more and more? He's coming back for us, hallelujah. That's our hope today. So in conclusion, let me just go back and read the verses one more time. Verses 1 through 6. After these things, I heard a loud voice, the great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He's judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. And again they said, hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders, the four living creatures, fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. And there came a voice from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God omnipotent reigns. Say it again. Hallelujah. 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 Worship Him with me today. Worship Him. Father, we worship You. We praise You. We express ourselves to You, our love, our gratitude, our joy, and our hope is in You and in You alone. May the Holy Spirit remind us daily of who we are. We are Your children. We are joint heirs with Jesus. And our home is waiting for us in heaven. Father, we await that day. We await that moment when the trumpet sounds and You come and You take us home. We'll be shouting hallelujah. Let us shout it today. Let us praise You today. Let us worship You today. In Jesus' name, may the Holy Spirit lead us in that joy, in that triumph, in that victory today of knowing Christ as our Lord and our Savior today. Thank You, Jesus.